This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, April 8th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart, back after a week off, and there's no truth to the rumor that you need to listen to the Noon Business Hour through special Eclipse ear pods. But hope you do have your eye protection at the ready, because even though Chicago is not in the path of totality, you will get a good show today. We'll take a look at the future of transportation with Tesla's new robo-taxi technology. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, it is Eclipse Day. Joining us with a preview and what you need to know is Kelly Tycho, senior breaking news reporter for Axios in Coral Springs, Florida. Kelly, thank you for joining us today. And the eclipse is now underway in North America. It is path of totality is beginning in Mexico right now. It will pass through Texas and leave the country somewhere around Buffalo, New York, and it is a very big event today, Kelly.
Thanks for having me, and yes, it's such a big event, and I hope everyone has their glasses, especially in a partial solar eclipse, which is what Chicago will experience. Glasses are so important. Don't take out your sunglasses. That's not going to protect your eyes, but you really need the eclipse glasses or to make a pinpoint projector. You really shouldn't be looking outside at it at all. And if you want to watch safely, you can also watch, stream it.
It's interesting. Prior to 2017, which was the last total solar eclipse over North America, the one before that was in 1979. And technology, of course, has changed considerably since the late 1970s. And of course, now you can see various graphical online tools that can tell you where people are and how many people are going into the path of totality. And last time in 2017, I thought this was interesting, where you could see the traffic jams leaving the eclipse area once it was over. But now you have a data visualization tool from Airbnb that shows that all of the Airbnbs are sold out inside the path of totality. So not only is this a big event, it's also a big business in areas that will experience the total eclipse of the sun.
Yeah, and what I find interesting are the businesses that have jumped onto marketing for the eclipse, whether it's Krispy Kreme, whether a total eclipse donut, whether it's Cracker Barrel with having free eclipse pancakes with a purchase. A lot of businesses have really jumped onto this. And Sonic has a black slush where they were giving out free glasses while supplies last, free eclipse glasses.
And Jenny's Ice Cream, the upscale ice cream chain with locations in Nashville, Tennessee, and in Chicago, and in Washington, D.C., they have special eclipse ice cream flavors with various astronomical names. But what's also interesting is that we live in a time where everything is so siloed and everything is just so split up along the types of media you consume, along the political beliefs and things like that. But this is one of those rare instances where everybody in America and can talk about it, and it's one of those rare common experiences we all have.
Right, I totally agree. And I watched the October eclipse was a different kind of eclipse, but I watched it and I had my glasses, and you can still use the same glasses you have, eclipse glasses from October, for this eclipse. And it was just really an amazing sight when you really see it. And I tested my eclipse glasses. One tip I would give everyone, if you're concerned about your eclipse glasses, is to put them on inside and to make sure that you're not seeing any light through them. That's one way you know that you have a good pair. And you really can see, it's like pitch black when I put my glasses on yesterday to test them. So I would suggest people do that. And if you have any fears that they aren't working and you can see see light through it, I would say stay inside and or use another way to see the eclipse. Watch it on TV. Just be safe is really what I would suggest, and especially with kids. That's one of the things I was thinking about today with my own niece and nephew. I hope that they were going to be safe.
Good advice. Kelly Tycho, Axios, Coral Springs, Florida. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Tesla says it'll revolutionize your commute with its cutting-edge robo-taxi technology. We'll talk about that next.
debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Tesla is set to unveil what it's calling groundbreaking robo-taxi technology on August 8th, promising a new era in self-driving and ride-sharing innovation. Welcome in Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit. Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Tell us about what this is and how this stacks up to other autonomous driving technology that's available right now.
Well, there is no autonomous driving technology available right now that you can buy. What everybody is doing is these robotic taxis. And we obviously won't know how Tesla will stack up until we see what they do. Big competitors in that space right now are General Motors with its Cruise subsidiary. They had a big setback with safety and they're on hold. And Google with their Waymo technology, and they're pushing right ahead, moving from San Francisco into the big Los Angeles market. So Waymo seems to be in the lead right now.
And this does seem like the inevitable conclusion to the ride sharing just application and using this technology in which you have the autonomous vehicle and you don't have to pay the driver.
Exactly. But you will have to pay because nobody's going to do this for free. And Elon Musk hopes to make a lot of money off of this technology. But the question is going to be, will there be safety issues? As we know, Tesla has been investigated for its autopilot and its full self-driving systems. So will this system be as good as others? Will there be an incident like we saw with GM's Cruise system where a pedestrian was hit by a driver and thrown in front of the self-driving vehicle that didn't know how to react and then dragged her for a while? So we don't know what's going to happen next.
We're talking about the Tesla robo-taxi, which will be unveiled later this year, with Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent. You mentioned the Cruise self-driving taxi and also the Google's Waymo self-driving taxi, which they are plying the streets of San Francisco right now. And there are some safety issues involved. And the big one that you talked about is that the self-driving cars can react to most events, but not all of them. And in the case of the hitting the pedestrian, that is something the car was just simply unable to react to.
Yes. And again, advocates for these systems will say, yes, they're going to have accidents, but not nearly as many accidents as human drivers, because obviously there are injuries, fatalities every day in vehicles driven by humans. But we live in a world where everything is magnified. So these systems are going to have to be a factor of many, I can't tell you how many, better than human drivers, not just slightly better than human drivers, if they're going to be accepted.
Now, Musk himself is denying this report, and so there's nothing official about what's coming up. But this is not going to be a Tesla model that we know them or that you can buy, that this cyber taxi is going to look more like the cyber truck as opposed to the typical Tesla sedan.
It's hard to tell what it's going to look like. There were reports last week that Musk was going to be scrapping a plan to make a smaller $25,000 EV and was going to turn that into a robo-taxi. Well, Musk denied that, but he did announce that they will have the robo-taxi. So we're just going to have to see what shape it takes. By the way, GM has made a lot of robotic taxis right now, and they're just sitting around while Cruise tries to figure out what it's going to do. The vehicle is called the Cruise Origin, and it's meant to be totally self-driving, but at this particular point, it's not street legal.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS News automotive correspondent based in Detroit, telling us all about the Tesla robo-taxi, which will be unveiled later this summer. Coming up next, we'll discuss the timeless adage of sell in May and go away. Is it market strategy or myth?
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's an age-old investment adage, sell in May and go away. Joining us to discuss whether you should avoid the market's worst 6 months or plow forward is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington, D.C. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And you have a couple of more weeks to really ruminate on the idea of sell in May and go away. What's kind of some of the history, the historic numbers underpinning that theory?
Well, if we go to the basic seasonal pattern, it's actually based, it looks like, in some pretty strong statistics. If you go back 150 years to when the Dow Jones Industrial Average was created, it turns out that on average, the stock market produces much higher returns on average between Halloween and May Day, the so-called winter months, and much lower returns between May Day and Halloween, the summer months. And as you mentioned in the intro there, we're about to enter in that period this coming end of April. So that really is the basis for it. And it looks statistically very good. But to use another radio personality, Paul Harvey from years ago, there's the rest of the story. And it turns out that there is perhaps not as much here as it otherwise meets the eye.
Now, is there any particular reason why the period between May and October is a lower performer compared to the winter months?
You know, that's such a great question. And really, that's the basis before that's the question all of us should ask before trying to follow not just this pattern, but any pattern. And I'm not aware of any theory that that meets any statistical or historical scrutiny as to why it would be lower. And when there isn't that basis for believing that it should exist, then one should at a minimum be somewhat skeptical about it.
And then, of course, this year has just defied expectation and a lot of predictions so far in terms of just the returns, especially on the S&P 500. Is there anything that would suggest that maybe in 2024 that sell in May and go away is not necessarily the best strategy just because the way this year has unfolded so far?
Well, I think it is a good reminder that the markets will do what they'll do despite any of the seasonal patterns that we come up with. The additional pieces of information that we should take into account is that it turns out when you look at the historical record more closely, you find that almost all of that that difference in average returns between the winter and summer months traced to just 1 year of every four. It turns out that the years in which there's a midterm election, and again, there's a million theories as to why this would be the case, but it turns out that the summers before midterm elections tend to be particularly poor, and the winter months right after midterm elections tend to be particularly good. If you take those years out of the sample, it turns out there's no difference on average, from at least from a statistically detectable point of view, between the winter and the summer months. And since, of course, this year is not a midterm election year, that would suggest that even if you wanted to follow the pattern this year, you might want to at least, as I say, stay and play rather than sell and go away.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com, based in Washington. Thanks for joining us today. Still ahead, we'll check in with WBBM's Joe Bartosz, who's on the ground in Indianapolis ahead of today's solar eclipse.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Excitement is building in the Midwest for the beginning of the solar eclipse. Another large crowd is in Indianapolis to view the eclipse. We'll get a live report from WBBM news writer Joe Bartosz. Plus, it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some advice from an investment pro. Business. The markets are higher today. The Dow is up 36 points. The NASDAQ is up 20. The S&P 500 is up 5. And a half. We have 65 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies at 12:31. Our top story at the half hour is the lack of sunlight. About 200,000 eclipse watchers are in southern Illinois anxiously awaiting for the celestial event about to begin at 12:51 this afternoon. Totality is just starting in Dallas, Texas. Carbondale welcomed eclipse watchers with a block party featuring food, drink, and bands last night after the rain moved up. Of course, there's also a big crowd gathered at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and experts are urging people to be careful and use safety glasses. We talked to local optometrist Joseph Warner at the observation deck at the old John Hancock Tower. He says UV and infrared light from the eclipse can cause serious damage to your eyes.
People can sometimes have no symptoms, you know, for hours to even a couple of days before they might start to experience things like tearing, headache, light sensitivity, blurry vision, even blind spots in the center or near the center of the vision.
We have a team of reporters across the Chicago area, including at the Adler Planetarium and a school at the Western Suburbs. We'll have live updates throughout the afternoon, especially during the 2 o'clock hour, when even though Chicago is not in the path of totality, we'll have 94% shadow this afternoon. So, and thanks to the sunny conditions, not a cloud in the sky, you will get quite a show today. You can find more information on the eclipse eclipse by clicking the red link on our homepage, WBBMNewsRadio.com. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are trading higher today. Joining us to discuss what's moving Wall Street is Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors, based in New York. Jim, thank you for joining us today. Not to put you on the spot, Jim, but is there historical data about stock market performance during a total eclipse in North America?
You know, it's a good question, and I have no idea what the answer is. But but in terms of today, I think you're sort of in a wait-and-see attitude, because we have the consumer price index, the producer price index, several Fed speakers, and the beginning of earnings season with banks reporting on Friday. So we're going to get a lot of incoming data, and I think you're sort of in a wait-and-see attitude the early part of this week until that data starts to get rolled out.
As far as interest rates and investors are concerned, it seems like investors are, it's not like quite the stages of grief, but the stages of acceptance. Starting the year thinking maybe we'll have 6 interest rate cuts, then 3, then 2, and now it seems like they're getting comfortable with the idea of maybe no interest rate cuts in 24.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Until last week, the market assumed that we would have a growing economy, declining inflation, and 3 interest rate cuts. And what's creeping into the market now, the estimates are for 2, with many people saying perhaps none or maybe 1, and a minority saying there's a chance that inflation could start to reaccelerate as we work our way through the year, because the economy is so strong, and therefore interest rate increases may be put back on the table. That's very much of a minority opinion at this point, but it's above zero. And so the market's adjusting to that. I think the market can deal with 2-1 or even no interest rate cuts as long as the economy and profits remain strong. And as we work our way through first quarter earnings reports and going forward, expectations from corporations will get a better estimate as to whether that's a fair assumption.
For the last 2 years, we've been talking about the economy in terms of the soft landing, that the Fed will hike interest rates to a point to slow the economy down to a point where inflation reaches that 2% target. How should we recalibrate our expectations, even as consumers, if we find ourselves in a situation where you're not at 2% inflation, but maybe you're at 2.8, 2.9, or 3.2, and interest rates are still in the 5% range?
Well, I think the markets can live with that as long as the economy and profits are continuing to grow. What the market could not handle is if you had a sudden slowdown in the economy, a deterioration in the profit outlook, at the same time that inflation remains sticky and that therefore the Fed had no room to lower rates. So high rates, high inflation, a deteriorating outlook for the economy and profits would be a scenario the market could not handle. But they can handle high rates, gradually declining inflation, even flat to declining inflation, as long as the economy and profits are growing.
How about the banking sector? Because some banks already crumbled under the pressure of higher interest rates, and they have bond portfolios with interest rates from the before time. How can they cope with interest rates being higher for longer?
Well, you're basically talking about the regional banks, the smaller banks, and their bond portfolios having to be marked to market. And the best estimates at this point are that if there are any issues, it will be contained to a few banks and not become systemic. But you have to say the longer rates stay high, the greater the risk to the regional banking system.
Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director, Clearset Advisors, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, we check in with our man on the ground in Indianapolis ahead of today's solar eclipse. And then at 12:49, a pair of investment ideas from a money pro with
money conversation that pays a big dividend. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
All the buzz today is about the solar eclipse. Joining us live from Indianapolis to discuss his journey there and the highly anticipated celestial event he's about to experience experience is WBBM Noon Business Hour writer Joe Bartosh. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like the radio station is well represented in Indianapolis. Our traffic reporter, Abby Ryan, is at the big event, the sanctioned event with NASA and Purdue at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Where are you in Knapp City?
We are a little bit, well, on the northern edge. We're at an arts center here in Indianapolis. It's kind of a Ravinia Botanic Garden kind of vibe here. They have art, but it's outdoors. Beautiful, beautiful place. And the weather seemed kind of iffy when we were looking. We were thinking about even possibly not coming on Friday. But it's beautiful, and we're, I guess, 10 minutes away from the big moment. Starting anyway.
Now, we've been doing I-65 traffic reports all morning long for people who are beating a path to Indianapolis to experience the eclipse. What was the traffic like for you going down there, and what types of crowds are you experiencing in Indianapolis right now?
Well, even the line to get into this place was huge. It took about a half hour to get in, but it took us, it's a normal 3-hour trip. We come down to see our son at Butler occasionally, and it's usually about 3:05, and it took 5.5 yesterday, and that was yesterday afternoon before it really got, you know, got intense. So I think I may not be in tomorrow. That's all I can say about the trip home.
Well, it looks like Indianapolis is rolling out the red carpet for everybody who's coming down there to see the eclipse. Any businesses around where you're at, you know, trying to cash in on this influx of people?
You know, there's definitely more of a vibe, it seems, than a commercial, surprisingly to me, because I thought this was America, but There's some T-shirts out there. There's some licensed stuff. But it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a, at least in the part where I am, it's very much kind of a family of men, kind of cool people in this together, very chill, relaxed atmosphere. But now we're kind of building toward the anticipation of the actual event. So I'm really, really looking forward to that part of it.
It's interesting that there is actually licensed eclipse merchandise in Indianapolis. You'd think that it would be very difficult to copyright the sun, but here we are. I mean, it reminds me, I was in Milwaukee for the 100th anniversary of Harley-Davidson back in 2003, and there was the licensed merchandise that said Harley-Davidson. Then there was the stuff you could buy at the grocery store that said Milwaukee Motorcycles or something like that, if you don't want to pay the full freight for the licensed material. So I'm guessing, you know, what kind of gray market eclipse merchandise is there for sale in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit here and there, but I'm, as I said, a bit surprised considering the magnitude and the number of people that I know or know of that have decided to make this event all the way, you know, down across the St. Louis and across people that drove what would have been a 4-hour drive took them 9 hours kind of thing. It's not as blatantly commercial as, you know, I just think maybe as a country we're slipping a little bit here. That's my thought.
Or maybe they just want the experience, because I really hope when this thing actually happens, you're not thinking about your drive back up I-65 and whether or not you have to be at the radio station tomorrow. I mean, I'm in no position of authority, but you can take the day off, Joe, if it was up to me. But just really just kind of take in this experience that is very profound, and as we all saw with Tom Skilling a couple of years ago, move you to tears.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to weep, but I mean, I would say, like, of the things that of this kind of nature that could happen to you, like, number one, not quite. Solar eclipse number two. Number one would, of course, be being a guest on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, of course, and that happens, you know, Joe, every 20 years. I mean, you may not, you'll come back in 2044. If I'm still here, you're here the next time we have an eclipse over North America in 2044. And you talked about, like, the vibe in Indianapolis. It's kind of like just cool people coming together for a cool event, a big town square, except it's all of Indianapolis is the town square. And when you're worried about traffic and getting out, I mean, is everyone just kind of the mind, all right, we'll get there when we get there?
That's kind of the approach we took. And I think most people, it wasn't the crazy, mad, angry, bad traffic. It was just most people kind of accepted it. And I'm hoping that on the way back, you know, that's the same thing. We are a little bit north of the speedway, which means when those 50,000 people get out, we may have been ahead of the pack, but again, I'm not going to race out and miss this just to try to beat a little bit of traffic, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's 4 minutes of totality. You don't want to be the person like who leaves the ball game early. You get in the car 2 minutes into totality so you can beat the traffic.
I am going to be the one that screams, though, when it gets dark out, just to kind of add a little ambiance.
All right. Joe Bartosz, WBBM Noon Business Hour writer. He is in Indianapolis. He will experience the full totality of the eclipse. For those of us in the Chicago area, we'll get 94% of his experience around 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's 12:45. We'll check in with our Monday stock picker next.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. We welcome in Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com based in Hammond. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. Two selections today, and the first one is from the natural gas space.
That's right. The company is ArchRock. The symbol is AROC. The stock trades for about $21 per share. And as you inferred, Rob, it's a company involved in energy infrastructure. The company has a fleet of natural gas compression equipment that is used by companies getting gas out of the ground or sending it down the pipelines, et cetera. It's a smaller company, $3 billion market cap, so it's in the small cap space. Profits and sales should show very nice advances this year as well as in 2025. And the nice kicker on this stock, it's in a group that's getting some nice play here, but also it has a dividend yield of about 3.5%, and that dividend was increased nearly 7% earlier this year. So you get nice cash flow, you get nice growth, and you're in a sector that is showing some pretty good price performance right now. So that's ArchRock, AROC, trades for $21 per share.
And your next selection is from the healthcare IT space.
Well, actually, it's HCI Group. The symbol is HCI. It's in the property and casualty insurance space. They had a name change, and so that may be causing a little bit of confusion here. But it's HCI Group. The symbol is HCI, and it trades for about $117 a share. Small cap stock. It's about $1.2 billion market cap. They do, as I mentioned, property and casualty insurance as well as reinsurance, and they also have a real estate portfolio that they manage in the state of Florida. The company has just been absolutely crushing analysts' earnings estimates, and those earnings estimates are going higher. You get a little bit of a dividend yield of 1.4%, and the property casualty area has shown some pretty nice price performance relative to the rest of the market, so it's in a good group right now. So that's HCI Group, symbol HCI. The price is $117 a share. And our firm and our clients own both of these stocks.
And then very quickly on ArchRock, especially at this point in time in which America leads the world in oil and gas production. I mean, this is a renaissance for domestic energy exploration and extraction. Can you just basically, to use a fishing analogy, just dip your pole in domestic energy and that's where the fish are?
Right now, that's the case. I mean, you look at some of the big majors in energy. I mean, Exxon's trading around its all-time highs. You've seen a decent move in Chevron and most of the majors. And then in some of the smaller plays, you've seen pretty nice moves, partly driven by the fact that it's one of the areas where you're actually seeing mergers and acquisition activity, too, as some of these smaller and mid-sized companies are getting gobbled up by the big guys. So, you know, ArchRock is an interesting way to play both, you know, the M&A space in that world, as well as just functionally their fundamentals are improving and their earnings are going higher.
Chuck Carlson, CEO, Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. His selections, ArchRock, AROC, and HCI Group, HCI.